Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
You put these commandments into practice, live them, and I can guarantee you one thing. You will grow up one day and you will see there is a man that came from that boy that God had trusted me with. And there is a woman that came from that girl that God entrusted me with. And that man and that woman will make a difference in this third millennium.
The truth is, kids are searching for a role model, and you can be that person. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message called Thou Shalt Model Godliness and shares proven truth for how you can be a bold example of faith that shapes the lives of the children around you. Stay with us. That insightful message is coming up on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Thou Shalt Model Godliness.
We're talking about parenting. This is the fourth in our series. I started off in two introductory messages. We talked about a family that is dysfunctional, meaning it functions dangerously. We talked about a family that was functional. It means it functions in a way that is effective in building the right stuff in the lives of the children. And then last week, we talked about the first of the Ten Commandments of Parenting, as I am calling them. And it was, thou shalt love your children. And we discovered, I think, that loving children is not exactly like we thought it was. And then this week, we look at thou shalt model godliness. And I think you'll discover as parents that modeling godliness may not be exactly what you thought it would be. Now, let me say as a way of explanation that certainly there are addictions, and certainly there are mental and emotional and chemical and physiological imbalances that may preclude this method of parenting from working when there are physiological reasons, when there are addictions that come into play. But let me also state that if you're a father or a mother or a grandparent or a single that's looking forward to marriage or afraid of having children or concerned about how your children will turn out, you put these commandments into practice, live them, and I can guarantee you one thing. Having said all the precursors about addiction and chemical and physiological problems, you put these into practice and you will grow up one day and you will see there is a man that came from that boy that God entrusted me with. And there is a woman that came from that girl that God entrusted me with. And that man and that woman will make a difference in this third millennium. God's principles, God's truth always works when it's lived out in the lives of individuals. Let's prepare for the teaching of His Word. Father, You speak, and let me get out of the way so that Thy Word and Thy truth might be heard, received, understood, and, O Lord, our Lord, empowered by Thy Holy Spirit, may we put into practice right in the middle of our families. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture is 1 Samuel 1, the entire first chapter of 1 Samuel. But first of all, I want to read again from Psalm 127, middle of your Bible, verse 3 through verse 5. Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Let me repeat it again. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. One man who was having trouble with his family read this verse and said, I want to paraphrase those words from the psalmist. And this is what he wrote. Behold, children are a burden from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb must be His way of testing us. As the source of endless work and continued aggravation, so are the children of one's youth. Unhappy is the man who have his neighbor ask, do all these kids belong to you? That's a real question for a lot of people, isn't it? Are children a burden or a blessing? Are they a privilege or a liability? And in light of this, when you have the challenge placed on top of that, that we are to model, that scares me just looking at the title, godliness as parents before our children. We're to model it. How exactly does that work? So I have selected a biblical family, a biblical couple, and I put that question down for them. We know the great prophet Samuel, what a mighty man of influence politically and spiritually he was in his generation. What kind of parents did he have? And we look at those two parents and we discover something. Take your Bible, look at 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We run into Elkanah and Hannah. That was the name of the couple. What did they do to build godliness into this son that the Lord gave to them? Look what it says in verse 4. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. This husband, Elkanah, loved his wife, Hannah, but they had no children. They had no children for many, many years, and they prayed and they prayed and they sacrificed and they went to the altar and they prayed and they called upon godly men to lay hands upon them and they prayed, but still they would have no children. The problem of infertility was very apparent many times with families in the Old Testament, until finally Hannah got pregnant in advanced years. Now notice something. God sometimes answers our prayers later in order to answer them better. If Hannah and Elkanah had had a son back when they first desired a son, the first 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, it would have just been another Jewish boy. But in God's timing, they had Samuel, and we know their prayers were answered better even though they were answered later. And the first principle of building godliness into your children, we see it in Elkanah and Hannah, was that they loved one another. That wife loved that husband, and that husband loved their wife. That's the first thing we have to do if we want godly children. Now look at the next thing that took place here. We see in chapter 1, verse 21, then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go until the child is weaned, then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Literally, that he may live inside the will of God. We see that Elkanah and Hannah loved their son Samuel because their desire was for Samuel to grow up and be the kind of man that God had written a prescription for Samuel to become before the foundation of the earth. So the next thing, you want godly children and godly grandchildren, you have to genuinely love them. Now, a lot of people don't understand what it means to love them. We talked about that in our first commandment. We think we have loved them when we provide for them. And the way we provide for our children today, we delegate. We say, that son, that daughter needs an education. We delegate it to the school. You know, our children need an understanding of faith. We give them to the church. You know, our children need to build relationships. We let them pick their friends. And therefore, they're involved in other families through their friends. All right, our children need to know something about recreation. We give them to all the programs, whether it's dancing or ballet, or whether it's sports and activities, and all that the social community provide, we give it to those. They need entertainment, we say, turn on the TV, turn on the cable, look at MTV, here's the VHS, here is the computer that comes in your home. We give them online services. So we delegate all of this. And if there's a problem in education, we say, it's the school. It's a problem with faith, we say, oh, it's the church. It's a problem with entertainment, we say, oh, it's the culture, it's the media, it's the TV, it's the internet, it's all the other. And if there's a problem with their recreation, we say it is the coach, it is the teacher, it's the way they administer things, and we pass the buck all the way down the line. And when our children do not grow up to become the kind of men, the kind of women that we dreamed, that we prayed for, we say, oh, the fault was... We point to the school, we point to the church, we point to the coaches, we point to the teachers, we point to the media, we point to the culture. Parents, let me say something to you. Wake up. You and I as parents have to put all of these individuals and all of these entities that we throw our kids to so they'll develop in these areas, so they'll have recreation and entertainment and education, the rest of it. We have to put all this through a constant daily grid as to what we expect and what we're looking for. We can't throw them out to the capriciousness of this world. To do so, I can assure you, your son or your daughter will break your heart, and you can be sure their lives will be neutralized, minimized, or perhaps destroyed. There's one thing, if you just let this culture take them and you delegate all of this without watchful, discerning, prayerful involvement, you can be sure that son or daughter will never deliver the message to the world that God intended for them to deliver when he put them together and you conceived them by his grace when you and your wife or husband made love with one another. It'll never happen. So the responsibility and the accountability falls back on mom and dad. And if we really, really love our children, we must constantly put all of these entities where we delegate them to other groups and other individuals to teach, to train, to entertain, to recreate. We have to make sure that goes through a grid that you and your husband have prayerfully and carefully set up for their development. If you really love them, if you really love them, Elkanah and Hannah, we can be sure they love their kids. You see it the way they taught the biblical things. And the other thing you see about this couple, the reason they had a godly son, by the way, they had three other daughters and two other sons. But the reason this firstborn Samuel was a godly son, because they taught him to love the Lord. Look at it in that same chapter 2, verse 26. And she said, "Oh, my Lord," talking to Eli, As your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I ask of him. So I've also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Samuel was taught by those parents to genuinely love the Lord God Almighty. Therefore, we have a godly son that made a difference in his generation. Now, I'm going to do something that's the most dangerous thing I've ever done in my ministry. I've never stood in this pulpit and done anything as foolish or as capricious or as that has the risk factor that this does. I thought, well, who could I bring that we could talk about modeling godliness where it had failed and where it had succeeded? And I took a great risk. If you do not know them, I want you to meet my three sons, Ed, Ben, and Cliff. Gang, come on out. Be careful. Now, we did this last night unrehearsed, and I've warned them this morning, but I can tell you, this is like walking around with nitroglycerin. I think most of you, or some of you at least, know these guys. This is Cliff. He's a lead singer with Cademan's Call, and they do Christian concerts on about 100 college campuses every year. And he is a father of a cute little granddaughter, and that is his calling, and it's a Christian calling. Ben, as you know, is a pastor on our staff. He pastors and teaches here. He is author of a best-selling book, The Ten Commandments of Dating, and he has two children. And then you have Ed, my older son. He is pastor of the Fellowship Church there in the Metroplex in Dallas. And he usually is preaching to about, in the weekend, about 10 or 12,000, and church is going on right there, Ed, in your absence. And he has four children, and he has recently written a new book on the 10 deadly sins. What's the title? Deception?
Seven deadly sins.
Seven deadly sins. I thought you added three. what's the title? Deception?
It's called Fatal Distractions.
Fatal Distractions. So this is my three sons. And I never ceased to amaze that they all were called by God into a not full-time Christian service. Every Christian is called into full-time Christian service. Every one of us. But they have a church vocation in that sense. And if anything, I discourage that, guys. And what I would ask you, what would you say, Cliff, how would you say to these people that are struggling with bringing up kids, how do you model godliness? How do you propose to do it? How does it happen? Where do we make mistakes?
Well, I think the main thing that y'all did so well with us was you actually did model godliness. I think so many times you see parents today constantly wanting to tell their kids, even when they're my age and older, what godliness is. You should make this decision. No, this is the right thing. This is the wrong thing. Even when the kids have a relationship with Christ and they get up in high school and all that, there's a time that I think y'all started saying, instead of, no, this is the right way, this is the wrong way, and we'd have something we'd come to you with. Instead, y'all, a lot of times, you knew that we had a relationship with God, and you didn't try to play the Holy Spirit with us. I think that's very important. You weren't trying to tell us exactly what to do all the time. You would say, hey, here's a suggestion. Here's something. At the same time, we were watching you and Mom and the way you would live your life and the way y'all would make important decisions. And so many times, we made that right decision because of that. We knew the way y'all would do it, as opposed to you telling us exactly the way you would do it, or this is what I would do. So that was an important thing, and I think it's important now as well.
Ben, what would you do differently? How would you improve so much on your mom and dad as you bring up your two little girls? Or what are some things that you drew from trying to build the right stuff in your kids?
I think that one thing that was prevalent in our our household was the fact that you and Mom embraced all of life. When I talk to various people, many times folks will ask me the question, what was it like growing up in a preacher's home, and why are you not so screwed up? And that's what they're really asking. And so I say, well, that's relative, because we're all sinners, we're all messed up, we all make mistakes. But I think the reason we didn't go out and out and rebel against you or rebel against the faith was because our home was very normal. And that's why I tell folks it's very normal. We talked about sports, we played sports, we talked about politics, we embraced all of life. So it wasn't like you guys had this big pulpit Bible and you were always preaching at us and trying to cram it down our throats. You simply lived it out. And I remember growing up, we would pray together every night before we went to bed. I can remember it was during the, not the Pokemon craze, but the Batman and Robin craze. And I can remember praying for Batman and Robin.
The strange thing about Batman and Robin, Joe Beth made little suits for these guys. Ed wanted to be Robin and Ben Batman. His Ed, older, bigger, was Robin. His Batman, smaller. I never understood that.
Well, I think Robin had cooler clothes. So.
It was the shoes. Yeah. The shoes.
The shoes. Ed, what things did you pick up with your kids when you were coming along? What will you do better? You've got four. What's some of the challenges there for you? What would you say to parents in trying to bring these kids up in the proper way?
I define parenting as teaching and training your children to leave. And the teaching piece of that definition is from Deuteronomy 6. And then the training part is Proverbs 22. And then the leaving part is Genesis chapter 2. What's so great about our family, looking back, and then what Lisa and I are trying to model is exactly what you and Mom modeled: authenticity, living life on the rugged plains of reality. And I'm telling you about Dad and about my mom, when you see them publicly around here doing these things, they're the same away from church as they are in church. And one of the unique things about being a pastor's son or daughter is the fact that you get to see your father and mother in ministry in action.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
James 3:10, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be that way. One night at dinner, a father led the family in a prayer of blessing, thanking God for their food, their home, their church, and his provision for all their needs. When they began to eat, the father proceeded to comment on his tough day at the office, saying some unkind things about one of his co-workers and complaining about how little people appreciated his work. One of the children asked, "Daddy, when you prayed before dinner, did God hear what you said?" "Yes, of course," said the father. "And when you complained just now about all your problems, did God hear that too?" "Well, yes." Then the child asked, "Which one did he believe?" You know, children have a way of getting to the bottom line. Have you discovered that? Think about the words you have spoken in the last, say, 24 hours. What do they say about what is hidden in your heart and my heart?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling, so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Dr. Young's message about how to be a powerful influence for Christ in the lives of the children you know.